Madpipe Madcast.
Welcome to the Madpipe Madcast, where we talk about marketing strategy and bring marketing insights to businesses and nonprofits. Today, my guest is Ed Lefkowitz. Ed is a marketing photographer in NYC. Thank you for coming, Ed. Tell me a little bit about what it means to be a marketing photographer and maybe specifically in New York City.
Daniel, it's good to be here today. A marketing photographer is someone who makes photographs for marketing. Well, any photographer does photographs for any purposes, I suppose. But my job is not simply to make great images. My job is to make images that are going to provide the selling power that my clients need.
So tell me about how is this a little bit different than, say, a wedding photographer or, you know, a photographer that that does travel photography? Is this a different style?
It's not so much a question of style. It's more an issue of the end purpose and how you get from where you are to the end purpose. Look, a wedding photographer's job is to memorialize an event, a day that's important for two people and for their families. So they're doing, in part, a documentary kind of thing. They are also just making beautiful images that are going to resonate and bring back the memories of the day for people to see them down the road. When I'm working for a company that's doing advertising or marketing, the goal is different. The goal is first to engage potential clients and current clients, and second, frankly, to sell.
Okay, so the goal is different, but you might still use some of the same techniques, like documentary style, for instance.
Absolutely.
Okay, so Ed, talk to me a little bit about stock photography. So right now I can get on stock image sites and I can get a small size image for a blog post for about $1 or a full size image for a larger part of the website, maybe a background for like $10, something like that, sometimes $20. And, you know, the problem I see with stock photography as a marketing strategist is that, you know, they're clones. They all look similar to each other, and you get kind of a vibe, a feel. If you go to one site after another, I mean, back in the 90s when maybe there were, you know, a few hundred websites, it was one thing. But now when there's a few hundred million websites, I feel like sometimes I'm seeing the same perfect smile, khaki pants, blue shirt, 100,000 times. But I think there's more to it than that. I think that you as a photographer probably have a more detailed take or a more insightful take on what's wrong with stock photography versus pro photography from a marketing standpoint.
Sure. There have been a number of studies that show that when someone clicks on a website, the first thing their eyes light upon is the image. If the image is a stock image that's a common image that has nothing to do with the website, their attention immediately goes away. Look, nobody needs to look at another image of a field of sunflowers. Mm-hmm. And if you have a website with a field of sunflowers in there somewhere, no one's going to pay attention to it. They all look alike. Two guys in gray suits shaking hands, actually two arms in gray suits shaking hands. Nobody needs another image like that. It's got nothing to do with the website. It's got nothing to do with the business. It's got nothing to do with pretty much anything. It's a space filler. And I don't think that anyone is looking for more space fillers. Look, we're an increasingly visual society. We produce gazillions of images a day. That's, you can look that up. Mm-hmm. And people tune out if they don't see something that relates.
I like where you're going with that. It's not, in other words, just the fact that it's not unique, that we've seen 1,000 of them. It's that we now rely on visual images as a form of marketing communication. And you're saying a generic photo of two guys shaking hands or two arms or a field of sunflowers doesn't communicate enough material. In fact, we think of it as content, but it's not actually sufficient content. Is that kind of where you're going with it?
Yeah, I think you're right in characterizing it that way. People want not simply content. People want content that relates in a meaningful way to the business or the nonprofit or whoever. People are buying not stuff. They're not buying stories. They're looking for the backstory. They want to know how this thing came about. They want to know who's involved in the business or the nonprofit. They just don't want to see yet another pretty image of something that makes no difference.
Yeah, so I think we're talking about, you know, people are expecting a multi-sensory experience. So when I load a website, I don't just want the image to be a useful backdrop to the text. But I want you to communicate from the get-go in a faster way that, you know, now we have 6 to 7 seconds, the average load time before somebody clicks off of a website that doesn't engage them. I want that full experience. I want you to engage me visually, not just in terms of, not verbally only. And the other thing is as you said, I'm not buying generic widgets. There's no such thing as generic widgets. I'm buying something in particular, and I need to know right away who I'm talking to, what I'm buying, how you're going to treat me, and I need to glean all of that at a glance. And so a photo, I guess, you know, the old adage is worth 1,000 words. It has the ability to give me that in that 6 seconds.
It does have the ability if it's planned right and if it's shot right and if it's used properly. Absolutely. The other thing about stock images, which is really interesting, is because they're generic, you can go to two different websites or two different magazine ads and often see the same image or images that are so similar, it's sort of appalling. There was a famous case some years ago where Dell Computer and Gateway Computer, Gateway is now out of business, use the same model in the same setting for ads in the same magazine. Well, that crashed around their shoulders. Gateway is, in fact, now out of business. So you can imagine what it's like if you're looking for a particular good or a piece of clothing, say, or a service. You go to two different websites. You see the same image. You say, "Wait a minute, which of these is faking it?"
Right. I loved the other a day or two ago, Ed, you submitted on your LinkedIn profile, you posted an article about a guy that was painting himself, he was photoshopping himself into stock images
as
a protest against stock images. And I nearly fell off my chair laughing. It was like 1 o'clock in the morning, and I retweeted that, I reposted that everywhere. I'm like, you got to see this. You're making a case for all the rest of us that are tired of seeing that stuff.
Absolutely, absolutely, yeah.
Well, I want to ask you about specifically hero images. So that's a trend. You know, I used to run a web design and SEO company, and I kind of morphed into being a digital strategist. And so I'm used to looking at web trends in web design, and sort of spotting which ones are going to be fads, and by the time we build that out, you're going to wish you hadn't, and the ones that are lasting. And one of the things that has lasted longer than most people thought that it would is the hero image, the idea of a giant, really full spread, completely wide, fills the browser image above the fold, that sort of is the primary means of communication, paired with maybe just one pithy headline or just a couple of sentences or a brief blurb. And those hero images, you know, people still try to do it with stock photography because I think they probably think it's expensive to shoot a custom hero image. I got to engage a photographer. I got to communicate what I want. Maybe I don't get what I want, or I don't even know what I want. I don't have enough vision about what I'm trying to say. So I want to ask you how everything you've said applies to these sort of hero images. How important is it to get that one right? And more specifically, because you've kind of commented on that, what is your process as a photographer for getting that right with a client? What process do you go through to kind of think about, strategize, and come up with the right image?
Right. I'm actually going through this right now with two clients who have very different businesses, very different websites. Both need hero images, and in fact, series of hero images. Look, as monitors get bigger, we're seeing two trends. First is computer monitors are getting bigger. The second is we're doing more on portable devices, mobile devices. So for the screens that we have on our desks, the larger screens, the retina displays, for example, people want to see really large images. To get an image that's wide enough and that fits graphically into the design of the website, it takes a lot of work on the photographer's part to find out what the proportions are of the image, whether there's going to be type overlaid on it, whether there's going to be if there is going to be type overlaid on part of it, what part of the image gets type overlaid. Exactly. So you have to be very careful where you put the focal point of the image and what part of it can be just visual filler of some kind. It's work, and it takes a coordination between the photographer and the designer, and it's a lot of work. As I said, I'm working on it with two websites now, and there's a lot of back and forth before we even bring a camera out.
So there's a strategy component in terms of communicating the core message, and then there's also a technical component because, you know, as the browser is resized on different devices, whether it goes from a tablet to a phone to just a different size monitor, you need some of that image to kind of disappear because it's going to shrink up or bleed off. And so some of the maybe the peripheral stuff needs to be kind of background. And then you have to have a focal point that either doesn't move or is capable of degrading nicely, right?
Exactly right. Exactly right.
Well, let me ask you one more thing then, Ed. So let's say that I'm, you know, I get it. I run a business and I don't want to have stock photography. I don't want to have that represent me, especially if I'm a thought leader in my industry or I'm trying to be or I'm a startup and I'm doing something interesting and cutting edge, or I just want to stand out against my competition in a world of clones. So I know that I'm going to hire a photographer. And now that I know that there's such a thing as a marketing photographer, I'm going to hire somebody like you, Ed. But what I want you to fill in for me is, what's wrong with just hiring you to, say, shoot me a whole bank of photos and then I'll just kind of put those in different places on my website over time and I'll use my best judgment? It seems to me that there's a little more to it, because if I had to go do that, if you handed me a folder or a zip file full of photos that you took, they might be professional, they might not be stock, they might be interesting, but there's some context things that I as a layman don't get in terms of how to place them, where to place them in conjunction with the rest of my content on my site. So what do you do about that?
Well, there are two things. The first thing we need to know ahead of time is, what images are you going to need over time? What will you need them for? Mm-hmm. What's the subject of these? What kind of context are they going to be in? So I like to work with people who are planning ahead. The further ahead, the better. If a month, 2 months, 3 months ahead for in terms of image use is probably a good plan. Mm-hmm. And in terms of content, I want to know as much as I possibly can about your business, about where you're going, about where your potential market is. What are the demographics? I'm going through this with a client right now. We're trying to find out who the early adopters are, and also who the evangelists are, because there are sort of two different categories, and you want to get the evangelists on board as soon as you can. So what kind of images are going to appeal to them? It's a lot of thought that has to go into this.
So strategic stuff, logistic stuff,
absolutely,
technical stuff. And it sounds like that you're also dividing that between maybe the static content that they're going to need sort of up front to generate their homepage and some secondary pages, and the ongoing content that they're going to need to kind of match their editorial calendar for publishing blog posts and social media posts. And that's something you do, correct?
Yes, absolutely. Because gone forever are the days when you could put up a website and it would stay the way... Mm. Would stay static for months or even years. People expect to see new content. Google certainly expects to see new content all the time. So you have to plan for this.
Totally. And I'll ask you one more thing and then we'll make it a wrap. In addition to just website content, though, there's this whole new phenomenon where Pinterest and Instagram have really taken off. Instagram's got a huge share of mobile, and it's a really growing sector for a lot of companies doing marketing. And then Pinterest, every device. And, you know, you've seen some, like, just sort of corporate, clueless sort of branding where people try to create memes out of stock photos and just put a little caption. And, of course, they don't fly. They get laughed at, and then people hack those and change the wording and change the caption, or they airbrush things into it. And that doesn't create a meme. It doesn't create something that's memorable, that gets repinned and shared, something that's fun, right? So what's the difference there, and do you have a strategy for your clients to kind of help them fill out their social media?
Sure. It all boils down to the idea of authenticity. People want images that are authentically representative of the company or the nonprofit. They want to be able to put themselves in the position of people in the images, for example. They want to know the story behind what goes into things. A number of companies are, for example, giving photographers an iPhone and putting them on, you know, Mercedes did this a while back, gave a couple of photographers iPhones, said, here, take the car on the road for a week and fill our Instagram feed. So that's certainly possible. It takes some planning, but it's certainly possible. And yeah, that is the sort of thing I do as well.
Awesome. So, Ed, I really appreciate you you coming aboard the Magpie Madcast and talking with us this week. If you guys are interested in more about marketing strategy and bringing marketing insights to businesses and nonprofits, do check out our podcast on iTunes or simply visit madpipe.com. That's madpipe.com and look for the Magpie Madcast. Thanks, Ed. Really appreciate it.
Daniel, great to be here. Thank you.
Awesome.
The Magpie Madcast.